When the school day began, ninth grader Jeffrey Miles had a problem. Barrett was holding a special assembly with a secret guest, and he didn't have a tie.
In order to be in the auditorium, he had to have a tie on. And no matter what type of shirt you had on, you had to have a tie on.
In one of Barrett's old rooms, he found a pile of spares.
The kind from the 20s, I believe. They were so wide, they covered your whole stomach and chest. We called them chest protectors.
Miles grew up poor in South Philadelphia, and his world revolved mostly around gang life.
Every day I had to run for my life or fight for my life just to get home from school or to school. I had to fight to get there and fight to get home.
Racial justice, civil rights, these were distant concepts for a kid focused on surviving.
I never even heard of Dr. King before he came to the school that day.
And then King arrived.
I remember him walking into the Blair Junior High auditorium like it was yesterday.
Kevin Washington was also in the ninth grade.
He had a black mohair suit. It had a light sheen on it, like so many preachers did.
You know, I'm a Baptist preacher, and we can talk a long time. But I'm going to really be brief today. I want to ask you a question, and that is, what is in your life's blueprint?
It was a question with an explanation. King told the kids that doors were opening to them that had been closed to their parents. They needed first to have a plan for their lives, and they needed to believe that they were worthy of something better.
And you know, there are some Negroes who are ashamed of themselves. But don't be ashamed of your color. Don't be ashamed of your biological features. Somehow you must be able to say in your own lives and really believe it, I am black but beautiful. And believe it in your heart.
Outside his parents, ninth grader Earl Wilborn had never heard anyone say something like that before.
What he was telling us was that we were just as good as anyone else. He made us feel like we were worth something.
It was a feeling that would stick with Wilborn the rest of his life. His blueprint would take him to college and then to a long career teaching English just outside Harrisburg.
I didn't have to be a gang member. I didn't have to be any of that. I could be Earl.
Jeffrey Miles was already a gang member, but he wouldn't stay that way.
We were listening to him like he was Michael Jackson or somebody.
Miles remembers one part in the speech word for word. King acknowledged that some of them would be drawn to violence, but he urged them to resist.
And so our slogan must not be burn, baby, burn. It must be build, baby, build. Organize, baby, organize.
And everybody just went bonkers.
Miles always figured he'd drop out of school and keep running with his local gang. But that day, things started to change.
That was the start. That was the start for me to go on a new path to learn not to recycle poverty within myself.
Miles went to high school and college. He became an optician and sent three of his kids to college. Kevin Washington started his career working as a program director for a local YMCA.
Having worked with teens, you know how difficult it is to get them to be quiet and focused.
But not on that day, Washington says. Not in the presence of that man.
His emotional connection and his ability to rally and make you think you could do anything was what I will always remember about him.
Washington took the message to heart. From that early job as a program director in Philadelphia, he eventually became the first African-American CEO of the YMCA's national organization. Like King, he's now a trailblazer. But the Reverend's speech wasn't simply about achieving status. At one point, he talked about the dignity of common work.
If it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures.
Dennis Kemp greeted King at the door of Barrett Junior High 50 years ago and would grow up to become that metaphorical street sweeper. Most recently, he worked maintenance and coached basketball at a local private school. He lost his job after a dispute with a coworker, and after that, suffered a series of medical setbacks.
First thing came to my mind is, life ain't been no crystal stair, but keep moving.
At the end of King's remarks, he quoted a poem by Langston Hughes about a mother who tells her son that life hasn't always been easy. The words still ring with Kemp. Not long ago, he spent 4 months on the street. And in those dark times, he would repeat to himself King's final words on that autumn day.
I would walk the street at night, some of the coldest nights. And, you know, the first thing came to my mind was,
if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl, but by all means, keep moving.
Dennis Kemp kept moving. He lives in South Philadelphia now. The blueprint speech did not lead him to prosperity, but it helped him survive. And 50 years later, he's still here. Avi Wolfman-Arendt, WHYY News.